Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This seems to be the season of urgent preparation. Time is short. There's a lot to do. If you're not diligent, it would be easy to be caught unprepared. And that could be a disaster. In talking about urgent preparation, I could easily be referring to putting up decorations and purchasing and wrapping gifts and baking cookies and planning and preparing for special meals and gatherings. There's a strange parallel in this season between the urgent preparation necessary for all of the activities and business of the holidays and the baptizer's message. In each case, we are told it's urgent that we prepare. You need to get ready or you'll be sorry. Unfortunately, while our society and the baptizer agree in urgently calling us to prepare, the two calls are in direct competition with one another. There's no meaningful overlap between being prepared for Christmas as our society understands it and preparing for the kingdom of heaven. Indeed, to be focused on the preparations for gift giving and gatherings and all the rest, we can have our attention so occupied that we set aside that to which the baptizer is calling us. Who has time for special devotions, even additional worship services, when the holidays are approaching? They might well be important, but there's just not enough time for everything. Now, I'm not saying that any of you make that sort of decision consciously, and I certainly don't mean to suggest that getting together with family and friends is somehow an evil or wicked thing. Nevertheless, when push comes to shove, and there's more to do than there is time in which to do it, something is going to get sidelined. And at least some of the time, it will be the reception of God's good gifts that come to you as you attend to his word and hear his instruction and receive his promises. That guy in the garment of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, living off the land, eating bugs and wild honey, would have something to say about the sort of preparations that consume so much of our energy in this season. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Translated into today's language, his message would probably sound something like this. Why are you wasting so much time on things that aren't really that important? Stop it. All these things are destined for destruction. The Lord is coming. His reign is eternal. Don't be distracted. You need to get ready for him. If the baptizer were here today, there's a good chance that at least some of what he said would rub you the wrong way. But that wouldn't bother him too much. Diplomacy wasn't his strong suit. After all, he called the respected religious leaders of his time a brood of vipers, poisonous snakes, and threatened them with the unquenchable fire. But consider what this is. If you're trying to rescue someone from a burning building or an imminent explosion, you don't waste time asking them politely to get out or get down. You grab them or you tackle them, whatever it takes to get them out of harm's way before it's too late, before they're killed. And that was John's point. Unless you're preparing the way of the Lord, that is, getting rid of the barriers of his coming to you, unless you're living in daily repentance, you're in danger of being unprepared when he establishes his rule. The prophet John talks about judgment with vivid pictures. Unfruitful trees cut down and thrown into the fire. Chaff separated from the grain and consumed by unquenchable flames. In other words, being ready for the Lord's kingdom is of ultimate importance. Being prepared is urgent because the judgment is deadly serious business. So how exactly does one prepare? What does it mean to repent or to bear fruit in keeping with repentance? The word that's translated repent here involves the idea of turning around, of stopping heading in one direction and going instead the other way. For John's original hearers, this took the form of being baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. By submitting to John's baptism, the people were agreeing with what John said and with the judgment of the Lord, that they were sinners. To confess is literally to say the same thing as. So as the people confessed their sins, they were agreeing with John that they were sinners, that their lives were not holy as the Lord their God was holy, that they had often failed to do what God commanded and had also done what God had forbidden. They were agreeing with God's verdict that they deserve death and hell, that that is what their sins had earned them. But they were also trusting John's promise that through repentance and baptism, God would forgive them, would not hold their sins against them, but rather would be gracious and bless them. For you to repent is for you to agree with God that you are a sinner, that you have earned his wrath by the things that you have said and thought and done, and that there is nothing you can do to redeem yourself. It is to echo that tax collector Jesus speaks of, who was in the temple, whose only prayer was, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That tax collector despaired of himself. His only hope was in God. That tax collector, Jesus tells us, went down to his house justified, sorry for his sin, and relying on God's mercy, he received that for which he had prayed, the mercy of God, his not being given what he deserved. The kingdom of heaven came to earth when the mightier one who came after John made it possible for a God who is righteous to be at the same time merciful toward sinners. Sin needs to be punished. All sin, your sin, my sin. God cannot ignore sin, and he doesn't. Jesus took the punishment, endured his Father's wrath on the cross, suffered death and hell for you in your place. And because of that, God rejoices to hear you repent, to hear you pray, Lord, I have sinned against you. I've desired what is forbidden. Instead of reflecting your love in my life, I've responded to others selfishly and with anger. I've not trusted you, but have worried and fretted as if everything depended on me. Have mercy on me. Forgive me. And for Jesus' sake, in view of his sacrifice, God does exactly that. He has mercy on you. He forgives you. He cleanses you. Across the record of your sins, written in red, is paid in full. The blood of Jesus cancels your debt. This is the gracious reign of God. Christ in his kingdom of grace, in which you live even now. You prepare for his coming, for the day of judgment, and the full experience of all of the happiness that he's promised as you bear fruit in keeping with repentance, striving to live according to his will, turning back to him each time you fail, and confessing your sin, trusting in his mercy. This life of repentance and trust, hearing God's word and responding to it, is the perpetual life of a Christian. This is the way you respond to the word of the Lord through the mouth of John, the way you prepare the way of the Lord until he comes. The life of repentance to which John urgently calls us is a life of joy. To be sure, there is sorrow over sin, the continuing cycle of repentance and falling again is frustrating. If only we could overcome temptation and sin no more. But that is beyond our power. Instead, we live each day under God's mercy, never sufficient in ourselves, always dependent on Jesus, his blood and righteousness, the answer, your hope, your salvation. In this season filled with urgent preparation, God bless you not to lose focus on that which is most important, the reception of his word and the response it produces of repentance and faith. In Jesus' name. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.
Amen.